Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Thanks for letting me in the studio today, Bob. It's great to be with you.
Well, good to have you back in studio, Doug. There's a lot to talk about in the news, and I think we should hit it right
off. Well, that's the only downside of being invited in to do the show.
The news.
I am forced to look at the headlines.
Yeah, but ultimately, we have the victory in Christ. We're more than overcomers.
Amen.
But the battle is ugly.
It's ugly.
And it's fierce.
Yeah, I just want to start with a couple of stories from what I call the domestic tranquility file. There's a problem with domestic tranquility. And when I say domestic tranquility, I mean tranquility within the home, the family. You know,
right.
The domestic scene.
Yeah. So mom, dad, kids.
Yeah. The traditional family.
Right. The way God made us to
procreate
and enjoy children.
Because we know there's an attack. There's an all-out attack on the traditional normal family.
Yeah, there's a war against children.
Yeah.
Against marriage, against family.
But the way normal people are behaving is not helping our cause.
No.
It's not helping. I've got a couple of stories here that should shock the nation. But these are stories that happen so often that, Bob, if we downloaded the stories every day of just the violence within traditional families, that's
epidemic.
All the show would be about.
Epidemic.
It's awful.
Murders and just, it's epidemic.
And it's something that you predicted. When I started listening to you 15, 16, 18 years ago, is it? It's been a long time.
21 years ago.
You've been on the air for 21 years.
Yeah.
And I remember driving. I had just moved to Colorado. I'm driving under an overpass, and I hear this guy, and I got home, and I told my wife. I said, we got to find out who this guy is. I love this guy. Turns out it was Bob Enyart on a rerun at, I don't know, Oh Dark 30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And
that's
how I was
introduced
to you.
We've been on the air since 1991, April.
Yeah.
So,
that would have been 1992. The winter of 92 is when I was first exposed to your show. And this was something you talked about, the epidemic of violent crime.
Violent crime in America, where we have the best system in the world, say our lawyers.
Yeah.
They mean we have the highest paid lawyers in the world, but we have among the highest violent crime rates and incarceration rates. So we have one of the worst systems in the world.
And I remember hearing on the air, I remember hearing you say that this system, this justice system, is producing an epidemic of violent crime, and it will only increase exponentially as we go forward, unless something dramatic changes. And I remember agreeing with you. I wasn't even a Christian at the time. I was a complete idiot at the time. But even a complete idiot realized, hey, this guy's got a really good point. And now if you jump on the wires any given morning, you can download 1, 2, 5.
And actually, I don't know if you remember, we used to talk about the Alfred Hitchcock syndrome, where not that it would increase exponentially ongoing, but one of his programs, he came on and he apologized to the audience. And he said, I regret to inform you that we must conclude our program for this evening because all of our characters have been killed. They're all dead. So the murder rate will ebb and flow. Because there are only so many victims to go around, and you put millions of people behind bars, then you got to wait for them to get released.
That would be the
and
end.
It just continues.
Yeah, but here's the flow. From CNN from Tuesday, a mom in Florida shot herself and all four of her children. They're all pronounced dead.
What a great tragedy.
I don't know exactly why. But
Doug, I recall one of the afternoon talk shows, you know, Lisa or whoever. You remember those.
You're dating yourself.
Donahue.
I think Lisa went off the air 15 years ago.
Donahue.
Donahue.
And I don't know who they are. But
yeah.
I used to go on some such shows. You've gone on some such shows. But normally I would turn them down, those shows, because they want 12 people pro-spanking and one expert against spanking.
Right.
And I'd say, no, turn around the odds.
Yeah.
Let me be against 12 experts and I'll do it. But I'm not going to be part of a human sideshow.
Right.
So I would turn them down. But they had on moms who killed their kids.
Wow.
And they started out this episode saying, now there's no judging here. Is that right in the audience? There's no judging. And everybody applauded. No judging. And here's this panel of moms who killed their kids.
Wow.
And we have the Journal of Medical Ethics from February 2012. where they're advocating that we legalize infanticide.
That's right.
And we have Darwinist scientists who have been saying for years now that Darwinism shows us that there's no right or wrong in morality, that ethics have simply evolved. It's survival of the fittest. So there is no sanctity of life. So abortion, euthanasia, infanticide should all be legal.
Mm. Wow. And sexual immorality. In fact, let me just get to this story, Bob. This was this occurred on Mother's. Go ahead.
Yeah. But she killed herself also.
She killed herself and all four of her children. A bizarre story because the children went next door to tell a neighbor that they'd been shot by their mother.
Oh.
And somehow they end up going back to the house. One of the young girls died on her way back to the house, never made it back to the home.
Oh.
When the other kids made it back to the home, the mother shot them all again and killed them and then killed herself.
Oh.
Just a bizarre
tragedy.
Story.
You know, there was, for a time, there was a taboo against suicide.
Yeah.
And our society has done everything it could to remove that taboo so that suicide is simply a tool for dealing with pain or stress or depression or financial difficulties. So it's amazing how powerful a social taboo is. It's just amazing. And when society is filled with don't judge, don't judge, don't judge, there's no right or wrong, suicide is acceptable, then eventually we get this kind of behavior where people act like animals.
And it's becoming more and more normal.
Yeah.
That's why this story won't play in the news for more than a blip.
Right.
Because there's just not time to cover them all.
Right.
Now, listen to this one from Mother's Day. This is in Beaumont, Texas. A man, 22-year-old man, is the father of two small children with this girl. And he bought her flowers for Mother's Day. And after
That's
delivering...
That's normal.
Yeah.
I did that.
I do that myself. I actually gave my mother a teapot this year.
It
had flowers
nice.
On it. Yeah.
I gave my mom flowers and my wife, Cheryl, because she's my kid's mom.
Absolutely.
Flowers.
Well, this fella bought flowers for the mother of his children, which is how the story is reported.
Oh, they're not married, I guess.
Apparently they're not married, but he's the father of her two young children. He gave her flowers. He was found later in the day stabbed several times to death. And when asked by a reporter, a family member said she believes that the man was killed because the mom expected a more expensive gift such as jewelry and not flowers.
It's so obvious that's not why he was killed.
No.
So obvious.
Yeah, that's not.
And when we see crimes reported, the media, it's as though they're blind when they say, why did this happen?
Yeah.
So often, sexual immorality is such a major factor.
Yeah.
It's flashing like neon signs. Mm-hmm. That this is because there was adultery, this is because of fornication, this is because of homosexuality. But the FBI will track crimes, drug and alcohol-related crimes.
Yeah, they do.
But not fornication-related crimes, not adultery-related crimes, not homosexuality-related crimes.
Wow. My take on this story out of Beaumont is that there's a reason that the 22-year-old man and the mother of his children were not married. I think the chances are one or both of them were with other people. Mm. That's why they didn't get married. They wanted to retain their ability to be, they call it sexually active, but I think it's actually promiscuous is the right phrase. And that probably caused some tension in the relationship. And as you predicted years ago.
We have an epidemic of sexual assault and murder.
Yeah.
And that has been continuing. And a lot of people look at marriage and they say, why get married? What's the difference? On Denver radio this week, Tom Martino.
I'm familiar with Tom Martino. Very big personality here in the
Tuesday
Denver metro
morning.
Yeah.
9:41 a.m.
Yeah.
Said that not only should we have homosexual marriage, we should have any marriage, any permutation, anybody wants to marry anyone or anything, even, you know how it's against the law, at least in some places still, to have sex with animals?
I believe that's the case.
He said, regarding bestiality, if a man wants to marry an animal, it should be legal. Who cares? That's Tom Martino.
And now he's not known as a conservative talk show. He's fiscally conservative. He's known as a socially liberal talk show.
Oh, yeah. He's a liberal.
And, I find it hard to argue with his logic that if you do remove the definition of marriage between one man and one woman, it's hard
to argue.
What's
the difference?
Is there any?
There's no longer a foundation from which our leaders in society are able to think. They simply cannot think.
Now, was Tom being sarcastic?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't being sarcastic.
No, he was saying it doesn't matter. He said, so what? If some freaks every year want to marry an animal, so what? What's the difference? And how about this? How about society normalizing sex with animals? And we already brought in syphilis that way, and gonorrhea right. that way, and HIV that way. Who knows what other diseases could enter the human bloodstream and blood supply?
Yeah.
Because standards, the morals that God has revealed to us, are simply ignored by people like Tom Martino and Peter Boyles and yeah. Mike Rosen.
And these people who think that they can change the law and make things normal and make things okay, I think Tom Martino doesn't realize that it doesn't matter what the law says or how we change the law. There is a difference.
It still kills you. It will still destroy people.
Devastating.
Right.
And Mr. Martino.
Yeah.
Wow. To say that on the air and not worry about losing your career. What's happened, Bob? It's like I'm living in an alternative universe
or something. Yeah, it's a Twilight Zone. When you have Christian leaders defending, making excuses for child killers, then you could sort of figure out that everything is going to be broken. Mm. Everything on down. When you have a Christian leader who could defend a child killer, not only Mitt Romney, but we've been doing it for decades.
Yeah, we have.
With John McCain and George W. Bush and Bob Dole and on and on. People who advocate the killing of literally, when you add it up, millions of kids. Well, of course, those Christian leaders, they cannot maintain any kind of a consistent moral teaching. Mm. They simply can't.
Yeah, yeah. They've abandoned their foundation.
Yeah.
So it's bound to just get worse.
Yeah.
Well, I've got another story about an equally disgusting and disturbing topic. I'm not sure I want to do it. Do you have a story you can throw up just so I don't...
This is quite a day.
Depress myself?
I have a fun story.
Okay,
that's what we need. A government study of a study about studies.
Really? What did the data indicate?
This is true. The government accounting office
did
a study of a Pentagon study which studied studies. And they found out that it's all messed up. We're paying a lot for all these studies. So many studies you hear about and you think, I knew that. We're going to investigate, you know, why people are fat. It's like, I knew that.
Well, this
is ask me. Ask Bob. I'll tell you. Now I'll save you $12 million.
This is encouraging that someone has finally gotten to the bottom of this, though. I mean, the GAO has finally gotten to the bottom of this whole worthless study problem.
The Pentagon did a study of the studies that it commissions and pays for, and they found out, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, that they were awash in studies, and they were spending a lot of money on studies, and a lot of the studies really were pretty poorly done.
Really?
Like they couldn't provide the data that went into their conclusions.
Well, For example, obviously we need a blue ribbon panel. We need experts.
Yeah. When you're spending other people's money, when God said thou shalt not steal, that applies to the government also. It's wrong for the government to take money from someone else to give it to me and my family. That's
Amen.
Stealing.
Yeah.
When the government is the middleman, then they're spending the money. And it's really hard to be responsible when you're always spending someone else's money.
Yes, and there seems to be a never-ending supply.
Right.
But we're challenging that theory now.
We are, because socialists always run out of other people's money.
We're pushing the envelope.
Greece and Spain and Italy and Japan.
Big trouble.
Yeah.
Big trouble over there.
And we're headed in that direction. After all, when every Republican administration has wildly outspent every previous Democratic administration.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be hard to continue that trend.
Yeah, this guy's going to be tough to beat.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But if they're true to form, they'd find a way to at least maintain Obama's level. Now, I doubt they can do it. I don't think Obama could do it. But if the Republicans have always outspent the Democrats, creating entitlement programs and $100 billion programs of new spending, social spending, what makes anybody, any Republican, think that the Democrats are going to be more well-behaved? I mean, that's absurd.
It's not working.
No.
That's for sure.
Right.
All right. I want to do this story out of my justice file. There's been a ruling in the New York Court of Appeals, and the ruling says that it is not illegal to merely view online child pornography. They say it's not illegal.
This is a tragic continuation of what we've seen from Republican judges. Doug, child porn is one of the most insidious, of course, sins and crimes imaginable.
Yeah, demonic, wicked, evil.
Right.
Yeah.
And this has to be a Democratic court because it's a New York Court of Appeals, and Mario Cuomo and Elliot Spitzer, all these guys are Democrats. It's a Democratic state. But the U.S. Supreme Court not long ago issued a ruling regarding child pornography, saying it's legal to produce and distribute, purchase child pornography as long as the children being sodomized are animated.
Right.
As long as it's an animation, digitized, that is such a despicable, filthy, corrupt ruling. And that's from the Republican U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, I'll do some research on who these judges are. I didn't click through to find
out. I'm sure. They have to be.
Every last one.
Yeah, because the machine in New York, you lived in New York.
Uh-huh. Pataki was a governor there.
Well, he was, Republican.
Okay, so I'm willing to lay $5 that at least one of these judges was appointed by Pataki.
Well, I remember a New York Republican judge. It was a federal judge.
Yeah.
A convicted child molester was released from prison.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to a state park giving balloons to children to attract children.
Wow.
And the police arrested him, and it went to court. And this is a Republican federal judge, and it came to him, and he ruled that the police cannot stop him from doing that unless they were going to stop every person from entertaining children in any way in every park.
That's just ludicrous.
Right.
Why would they say that?
Because they're Republican judges. We get these guys from Reagan Bush and George W. Bush.
Mm.
That's who we get them from. Okay, maybe one of these judges.
I'm going to do some research.
Right?
I just think there's a chance. Yeah, it's a All panel. Right. It's one of those anonymous judicial panels, so nobody's actually responsible.
But it's part of the trend, and it's such a horrific.
Yeah.
So they're saying if you view child porn, simply viewing it in New York isn't inherently a crime.
Right.
Boy, do you think that gives aid and comfort to child molesters?
I think it certainly doesn't help the situation.
NAMBLA?
Listen to how this case came down. This ruling was handed down an appeal by a Mr. James D. Kent, who is a former college professor of public administration, whatever that is. I mean, I never heard of that as a major, but I suppose it is. Public administration. He was a college professor. On his computer, they were doing a routine update at his work.
Did he work for the Nuggets, this guy?
I don't believe he worked for the Denver Nuggets. They found evidence.
Did he work for the Denver Post? Their vice president of advertising was arrested in a sting, flew to Miami to have sex with a young boy.
Now, is that
their vice president of advertising, Denver Post?
But maybe in Florida, that's not illegal. Maybe they've changed the law in Florida.
Like in New York. But go ahead.
He worked at Marist College, and they found evidence of 30,000 images that had been deleted from his computer. He initially denied any knowledge of these images that were allegedly on his computer.
He initially denied it.
He denied any knowledge of it.
So you said initially. So it's not that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
No, because once he was confronted with the evidence, which was obvious.
Right. Like the time and date stamps.
Yeah.
And this is over a period of 2 years.
Right.
At night, in your home,
when
you're there alone.
Mm-hmm.
So initially he denied it.
But once the irrefutable evidence was put before him, he said, oh, that's right. I was researching a project on the regulation of child pornography, and that's how the 30,000 and some odd images. It was a research project.
It always is.
That's what it was.
It always is a research.
That's right. It's the Pete Townsend defense. Do you remember?
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Who? Pete Townsend. Pete Townsend, they found a bunch of this stuff on his computer.
Oh, that's not funny.
And he said, I was researching. I was going to write a book.
On child porn.
Yes. And I had
all these losers are going to write books on child pornography.
And I haven't written the book, actually, but I did do the research. I put in the hard work, but the book has not been published. Anyway, Pete Townsend got off. He walked away scot-free. And now this gentleman may very well, he's currently serving a prison sentence of 1 to 3 years. He was convicted.
Yeah. Without a foundation, when God said, thou shall not commit adultery, that is a foundation of criminal justice. And when we have decriminalized adultery, Focus on the Family actually, Doug, has disagreed with us when we've urged them down in Colorado Springs. meeting with their public policy leaders, Tom Minnery and all, Christians need to reassert that God said it's not just the sin, it's a crime to try to seduce another man's wife. Pornography is not free speech. It's inherently criminal to pay a woman to have sex with a man and videotape. It's criminal. And they said, no, we disagree. It's free speech.
Yeah.
That's Focus on the Family.
And
so if Focus on the Family is there, where do we expect the culture to be?
Right. A generation of political leaders, judges, and lawyers have been trained by our alleged Christian leadership.
Yeah. So nobody knows right from wrong any longer.
Yeah. Well, speaking of no foundation, Mitt Romney. Need I say more? Mitt Romney, as you may or may not know, he's got a campaign. He's running for president. And one of his biggest donors, maybe his biggest single private donor, has written him a letter saying he's switching sides.
What?
And he's going to support Barack Obama.
Come on. Romney and Obama are two sides of the same coin. They're both tails you lose. So a major supporter for Romney is a supporter for Obama.
He switched sides.
Not a surprise.
No. And it was apparently it wasn't that difficult.
Why?
Now, this gentleman, his name is Bill White, and he runs a consulting firm in New York. He was formerly the president of the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum.
I've been there.
On the Hudson River?
Yeah, Manhattan.
With the Intrepid?
Yeah,
the
on a ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, permanently docked there. Yeah, beautiful.
He says he's been a big supporter
of
the troops.
That's where the last space shuttle is.
That's where it's going. That's
from
right.
From LaGuardia. Yeah.
So anyway, he's an open, flaming, married homosexual.
Oh, brother. Uh-huh. And he's been the major supporter of Romney.
Yes.
And that makes sense, Doug, because Romney has been a major promoter of the homosexual lifestyle and especially of homosexual marriage.
Well, yeah, Mitt Romney, if I'm not mistaken, was the first and I believe the only governor in the history of the country to actually institute homosexual marriage, something Hillary and Barry have only dreamed about
that's
doing.
That's absolutely
he
right.
did it. Right. So no wonder that this fellow Bill White thought
supported
that Mitt was his friend.
Mitt Romney
as an
aggressive, flaming homosexual married.
Yeah.
Gives Romney probably over $1 million, whatever he gives him.
He's a max donor privately.
Yeah, but that only means they find other ways.
They find other ways to funnel the money in when they think
super
someone
PACs,
is on their side. But
super
listen,
PACs, which are unlimited money.
Listen to what Mr. White says to Mr. Romney now. He says, I can't support your run for president any longer. You are on the wrong side of history. That's a term I've been hearing.
The wrong side of history.
I've been hearing that term.
Because Obama came out for homosexual marriage.
That's right. And Romney came out ostensibly against it.
He was for it before he was against it.
He was for it.
Romney was for homosexual marriage before he was against it.
Well, wait a minute. He wasn't just for it. He did it.
He did it.
He
implemented
it.
And then Christians in Massachusetts introduced a Defense of Marriage Act.
Right.
He opposed it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he wants to run for president. He needs a Republican support.
Mm-hmm.
So they introduced a faux marriage amendment, a false, fraudulent marriage amendment that was designed to fail. Romney supported that one.
Yeah.
So he says, I supported a Defense of Marriage amendment.
Yeah.
He's just a liar. And this guy knew that Romney is pro-homosexual marriage.
Of course he did.
Right. But now this guy wants to pull Romney even further out of the closet.
Yeah. And he very well may. So this term, the wrong side of history. I wonder if people have any historical knowledge whatsoever, because I remember growing up and reading history and watching films about ancient history that rampant homosexuality was well documented in the history of the world, and it always came at the end of an empire.
Yeah.
Rampant homosexuality and sexual immorality.
Yeah.
The Greeks, the Romans.
And being destroyed from within.
Exactly.
And that's what Satan prefers. If Satan could push a button and kill everyone in the world, that's not what would give him the most pleasure.
Yeah.
It is if he could get people to destroy themselves, destroy their families, and destroy their nations.
Mm.
That's what gives him the most pleasure. And so that's why to attack marriage, that Jesus said God made us male and female, and to attack that, like Tom Martino mentioned earlier, saying, hey, you know, homosexuality, it's all fine.
Uh-huh.
And he said, but I believe in God, or people who believe in God should be respected.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but Tom, when Jesus said God made us male and female, the people who are the homosexual activists, they disagree with that.
That's right.
So Jesus said God made us male and female, and they say, oh, no, he did not.
So those are mutually exclusive positions. I wonder if Tom even understands that those are mutually exclusive. Because you can be confused and wrong and not realize it, but you're still confused and wrong. Yeah. And in the end, that you're going to have the fruits of that, that you're confused, that you're wrong.
Like Charles Schulz.
Charles Schulz.
Peanuts? Didn't he do Peanuts?
Peanuts, yeah.
Charlie Brown?
Uh-huh.
And Charlie Brown would say, how could we lose when we're so sincere? And Charles Schulz was a Christian.
Yeah.
And he put a lot of really neat lessons in his comic strips. Mm. So you could be sincerely wrong.
Yes.
You could sincerely believe something that is destroying millions of people.
Yeah. And all these people who think they're on the right side of history, no matter how much they believe that, if they took the time to read a little bit of history or teach the kids history anymore, they would realize that they're not on the right side of history.
And
they're on the wrong side of
history. And when you point out that homosexuals die 20, 30 years younger than heterosexuals, that violent crime in a homosexual household and a lesbian households is epidemic, and drug abuse and alcohol abuse is epidemic, on and on and on, that doesn't impact anybody. People just don't care.
Well, they should.
Because they have an antenna, and their antenna leads them to believe that if I promote homosexuality, I'm undermining biblical Christianity, and that makes them feel free.
So that's the real motivation.
The real motivation, and especially you see this with Peter Boyles, who just despises Christians and God.
Yeah.
Just he can't contain it any longer. Mm. Just despises them. So it's not that Peter Boyles loves homosexuals.
No.
A million people have suffered a tortured death in the last half century because homosexuality was normalized. Mm. A million people have suffered a tortured death.
Yeah.
Peter Boyles would rather see that continue than a return to a Christian morality where God made us male and female. Mm. So he's using homosexuals to express his hatred for God. That's what he's doing. He hates homosexuals.
But you want to hear the amazing thing about our God? Our God is so great and so merciful that he is actually loves Peter Boyles enough to still allow him time to repent. Peter Boyles, every morning he wakes up, he has an opportunity because our God is great, our God is merciful, and even Peter Boyles could repent and come to forgiveness and a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's how incredibly great our God is.
And Peter doesn't worship God. He loves his cats.
Yeah, well, okay.
He loves
red,
his cats.
Red flag number one right there.
Well, no, it's okay to love your pets, your horse,
cats
just not
even?
To marry them.
Well,
but
well,
Tom, Martino
Tom Martino about that.
Would say that Peter could marry his cat. And then Peter would say, finally, I've reached happiness. All right, Doug. The world is messed up.
Yeah.
But we're having fun serving the Lord. God bless you guys.